This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Right here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is your noon o'clock hour for your lunchtime, and you're in your car. You're maybe just getting into the car for lunch. Maybe you're driving home from lunch, took a little early lunch. Go ahead and leave it on right now. We got Brian Broaddus for the Football Power Hour joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece. A lot of people were very concerned about what Broaddus' career was going to be. We're very happy to know that he is going to be on the pre- and post-game show for the Dallas Cowboys. You'll hear him on Sunday in the pre- and post-game show. And the insight and knowledge is unmatched. You're not going to get it anywhere else. The ability to see a game within the game is something that you're going to absolutely love. So, Broaddus, we're really happy to have you here right now. Waiting on Jerry to call us in a little bit.
So this will be fun.
If he calls in this hour, we're in. You can ask him all the questions.
That will be fun.
And we will have Mickey Spagnola at 12:20, so talk with your pal Mickey as
Absolutely.
But right now, you said you wanted to play a game.
Yeah, I want to play a game with you guys in regards to this game this weekend against the Patriots. I'm calling this game What Gives, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question, and it has to do with a Cowboy thought and then a New England thought. And you got to tell me what gives here. All right, you ready, guys?
Right. Yep.
Here we go. When Tom Brady faces a blitz, his quarterback rating is 79.13, which is 22nd in the league, by the way.
All right.
When the Cowboys blitz a quarterback, their rating is 103.18.
Oh. So we're terrible against the blitz?
What gives? What gives? Do you blitz Tom Brady knowing that his rating is bad at 79.13? Or do you figure out that, wait a minute, we can't blitz because when we do, our quarterback rating is 103.18?
I think that I do blitz on the hope that, because if you don't, they'll destroy you with the screen passes a la Minnesota Vikings.
So you're worried about the running backs in this game and the receivers on the screens.
Exactly. So I think I'll take my chances with a not mobile quarterback and hopefully that those things meet up and pays off for you.
Broaddus, I have a wild approach to this game, and it might involve not having Jalen Smith on the field that much.
Okay.
You're
not going to have Van Der Esch on the field for sure.
Yeah. He's out.
Yeah.
Or maybe he is. But I am, and I don't know if Marinelli and Chris Richard would be able to approach this, but I'm going with more secondary players on this field. I might even be running a bunch of dime in this game just because of what they can do with their running backs in the passing game. I'm one-on-one with my cornerbacks all day. I'm fine with it. But I might want some more safeties on the field to
How are you going to replace Anthony Brown then? Because if you go dime, you're down a defensive back as is.
Yeah, and that's my concern. If you had Anthony Brown, I would be a lot more comfortable. But I just don't trust the linebacking group that we have right now to be able to cover those running backs in the passing game.
You know what? I'm going to say that I think you're going to have to blitz in this game.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking on the fact that it looks like to me in watching the tape this week that when you affect Brady, you affect the way he throws the ball. You know, we used to see Tom Brady handle the blitz, get rid of the ball, and everything's fine. He hasn't been nearly as accurate as he's needed to be. Watch some really good game. Watch the Ravens. Watch the Eagles. Watch the Cleveland Browns get after him as well. So there's games that I'm seeing where I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to come after him. Even though my quarterback rating when I blitz is not what it needs to be, I think the underlying factor in this thing is I've got to affect Tom Brady.
Do you, in those blitzes, do you have to disguise your coverage
a lot? You just have to get home. You have got to get home.
I don't know if this is easy to pick up on film, but is it just a matter of finally age is catching up to him to a certain extent in terms of his inability to handle the blitz so well? Because he's never been particularly mobile.
Lack of weapons.
Okay.
It's Julian Edelman. You know, it's Julian Edelman. That's really his best weapon.
That's why he was like, please let us keep Antonio
Brown. And you know, and see, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't have somebody that he could work the middle of the field with. Edelman can work the middle of the field for him, but how about the stuff going down the field? They just don't have that. Now, White, the back, you talked about the screens. I think Dallas is going to see some serious screens in this game. No question.
I'm concerned.
The backs or also the wide receiver screens. I think you're going to see that. But teams have gotten after him. Even when they're throwing screens, I was watching these games, even when teams were blitzing him, coming after him, they affected the way that he was throwing the screens. The accuracy just wasn't there. I think a lot of it has to do with his lack of weapons around him.
Okay.
Okay, next thing on what gives. Dallas is first in the NFL in plays of 10 yards or more with 167. New England is first in the NFL in plays of defending those plays of 10 yards or more with only 89 for the season. What gives? Dallas continuing to make big plays of 10 or more yards, or the Patriots shutting that down?
I think what gives is the Cowboys leading the charge with 10-plus yard plays.
Because they can't do it, or because the play caller decides to make the field smaller?
I think in this particular...
Oh, we're on that play caller, aren't we?
Yeah, I think in this particular instance, it's going to be the opponent. Like, I'm always here to blame some Jason Garrett play calling.
So you think they'll take the shots to do it? They just... The opponent's too good to...
This defense is awesome. Like, I know people will lament the crap schedule that they've played, but their defense has been freaking unbelievable at keeping people out of the end zone. With the exception of the Ravens game, they're giving up, 9 points a game in their last five or six games? So I think it's going to be the Cowboys that give here.
I think it's going to be the Patriots defense that gives. As much as I love Belichick's defense and how they prepare for everything, I think that Kellen Moore is going to have some balls on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep attacking, and I don't think he's going to shell up.
You know what? I think with Kellen Moore, this is where I think it's going to be really important for Kellen Moore, and I'm going to get into this weekend with Ari some more on the pregame show. I think Kellen Moore can't show Bill Belichick his best stuff early. And I know that's crazy to say. I think he's going to have to hold something in reserve here. I think he's going to have a plan at the 8-minute mark, 7-minute mark of this game, something that Belichick has not seen, something that Belichick, maybe it's getting Tony Pollard more involved. Maybe it's Blake Jarwin on some waggles or some boots. Maybe it's got to be something that, because Belichick is, Mike Lombardi will tell you, and he said it the other day on the radio with here on the station, Belichick is in a frantic mode to try and figure out what you're doing. And he's going to adjust with you series to series, not just halftime adjustments. Okay, they told us they did this at halftime for the Jets. No, he is going to adjust with you series to series. Kellen Moore had better have some things pulled back and ready for when that moment comes that the Patriots have not seen nor prepared for in this football game.
I think it would, and maybe it's insane, but I'd come out and do 2-minute drill early. I'd come out
with pace,
and just that way they can't do the adjustments they want to on the first drive.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think you have to be you have to do something out of rhythm, and I mean out of rhythm or out of what you normally lock into.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this though for you guys? What gives? Dallas's offense passes for 4 or more yards on first down 60% of the time. New England, on the other hand, only allows a gain of 4-plus yards per pass on first down only 44% of the time. What gives?
I think the Patriots give in this one because I think the Patriots will be more concerned about not giving up those plus or explosive plays as opposed to, like, I kind of do feel like they're going to challenge the Cowboys to dink and dunk them, to like make the long drive, to make a push at them. Like, I mean, if this was the 16 Cowboys, I'd be like, good luck with that, because we put together oppressive long drives all the time and crush your soul. But I think this time the Patriots will say, give it a shot. So I think the Cowboys will continue at that trend. I just don't know if that'll be enough in this game.
All right, we have we'll get to the more of the answers to that question in just a moment. I got about 1 minute, Kevin, before Jerry Jones hops on.
Okay.
And we're going to have Jerry Jones in just about 1 minute. I did want to throw this out. Somebody's saying, well, what about the weather? Dak Prescott's last 4 games in sub-50-degree weather, which is going to be this weekend, 90 completions on 140 attempts, so that's 64%. 1,111 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So throwing the ball with Dak and cold weather, going to be perfectly okay. All right, let's join Jerry Jones right now here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You got Corey, Kevin, and Brian Broaddus, and we have Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Jerry, how you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And say you got Brian Broaddus on there with you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do.
Well, great. All right, Corey, Kevin, good to be on with you guys.
Yes, sir. So I'm curious, what are your typical interactions with in conversations like with Robert Kraft? Is it all business, or are there some like good Super Bowl back and forth between the two of you guys?
No, we really we probably have frequented so often this year because of our labor negotiations, and we also are in a pretty active time with our television work, and so I'm running into him quite a bit with our league business. And this is probably has been a pretty inordinate year when it comes to the frequency. And so I see him a lot during that particular period of time. But of course, always, as it is with most owners, get around to talking about our teams and talking about the issues that are involved relative to the league as to our teams. And so really, it's pretty informative. One of the things that Roger Goodell has done is created a very transparent, this is a positive, it's a very transparent situation for the league. And I would say that collectively this ownership group that owns these teams right now are the most aware, the most engaged, the most active ownership group that I've ever been associated with since my time in the NFL.
Now, the things that you just mentioned, the TV contracts potentially and the collective bargaining agreement, obviously there could be some tie-ins. I'm curious, do you guys start talking with the networks, or do you know if y'all start talking with the networks about what would the package look like if we went to 17 games, or do you have to wait until that would all get cleared with a collective bargaining agreement before even having such conversations?
No, to be doing the job, I'm not even going to say right, but to do the job, you've got to creatively be looking ahead. We have a really top group of people that are our staff, that led by Brian Broaddus, and Brian Rolapp. But Broaddus might make a good TV executive too. But,
thanks, sir.
Bottom line is Brian Rolapp leads that group, and it's continually looking for creative ways. We have so many ways that our fans view our games and view our programming and the way we coordinate that with the different partners we've got that present the game. So that's a 365-day-a-year, 24-hour-a-day almost job. And it's just continually, it just never stops as far as how we might work in something as new as a more schedule, more games, more playoff games, that kind of thing. But that's something that, frankly, we've been bantering around and talking about for years.
Right. Well, I'm hoping you can help me out with one other league-based question. I have no idea what the answer to this is. Unfortunately, there has been more carryover from the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing. Do you know, does the NFL have a specific disciplinary mechanism in place if for words on the field or for racial slurs on the field? And if they don't, should they? Because I honestly don't know the answer to that.
The answer is yes. And we're all a part of the way things have evolved about sensitivity in the workplace. The competition and out on that field is no exception. And while players and coaches and everybody have a more passionate way of expressing themselves. And I would say that as compared to other workplaces. And it has to do with the physicality of it. It has to do with the competition. But even with that, there's no tolerance for a serious misplaced slur.
We got Jerry Jones on with us on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, you know that everybody that plays the Cowboys, they generate a little extra juice simply because of the Cowboys brand. They get excited to play the Cowboys. The Patriots have kind of created a similar vibe in that a lot of people want to defeat them. Do you feel any extra juice heading up to New England? Do you feel that energy already about what it's like? And when do you start getting really excited about a game?
Well, I have never, ever, at any point in my life, had been impacted, whether it was as a player, whether it's as a fan, whether it's as owning the Dallas Cowboys. I've never been impacted, not been impacted by the gravity of the game. And we call those big games. We call those, we even talk about it sometime when we're talking and officiating, and we're saying, we need to officiate this game like it were a Super Bowl. What does that mean? Well, I don't want to get into the detail of what it all might mean, but it means that it's got a higher edge to it. It's got a higher degree of just sheer intensity. And for us, because we're playing such a team that we really not only respect, as everyone does, but also for where it places us in every way you can calculate success. This is a very intense game, and we should play accordingly. The critics would say you ought to play like that every snap. You ought to play like that every play. I think you do. But I remember when I was in college, and you'd have games that we played Texas, and we played them when we were in the top 10. They were number one. And I mean, a 2-yard run would seem like a 25-yard run in a normal football game. But when you made that against Texas and you moved the chains, got that first down, it just was an air of you were competing at the highest level. And I think that'll be the way it'll be out there. Although this is pro football, and boy, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. That'll be a high intense game out here Sunday.
And that's why we're looking forward to it. Now, we were talking about this earlier this week, Jerry. Michael Irvin was a wonderful hype man. He was the heart and soul of those Super Bowl teams. And I bet you got a bunch of chills whenever you heard him give pregame speeches and get everybody going. For this Cowboys team, you've kind of seen the hype man rotate a little bit. Who do you think, who's the guy for you that when you talk about your Cowboys team that is the hype man for this team?
Well, I'm going to answer your question. We've got guys that, of course, you have to be one of those individuals that deliver. It can't just be verbiage. It just can't be something you articulate. It's got to come from somebody that you know has paid the price, will pay the price, and he's calling on you because you know you can count on him. But I remember when you talk about Michael Irvin, I was visiting with him one time, and he said, when I'm in the huddle and I look over there and I say, man, to a young player, let's say, I want you to go across that middle and I don't want you to blink. I'm counting on you to make this play. I'm counting on you to clear out or make the catch. He said to me, Michael did to me, you know, Jerry, that doesn't start in the huddle. That doesn't start at practice. That might have started when he was a rookie. And he might have been asked to go home and speak at the Rotary Club. And I'll say to him, would you like for me to go with you down there? And I might even say a word as well. And when the young player visited his hometown, and he said, I start investing in my teammates long before I call on them against the New York Giants to go across the middle. And I'm there, and I look over at him, and I say, if I ever let you down, don't you let me down. Don't you let us down. Get across that middle. Now, man, that's leadership, and that rises above even in some cases, as to the impact of it, that rises above coaching. But that's not just locker room stuff. That's what has gone into the relationship long before you get up in that locker room and are passionate.
Awesome. I was hoping there would be a Michael Irvin story there. I really was. Can you, in terms of the current Dallas Cowboys roster, can you give us any update about the setback to Leighton Vander Esch? There were concerns about his neck going into the draft. Is there any thought that this could be a long-term issue?
Well, I think that it's symptomatic of what was talked about in the draft. He's a we brag about his length, his height, his range, his wingspan, if you will. We brag about that, and he plays a what we call a space impact position. Space impact. That's where you get a run and start. Safeties do that. Tight ends do that. Linebackers do that. And they have good collisions. And when you do all of that, then how you put together, there's wear and tear on it. And certainly that's what you look at when you look at a rangy player. And so that I don't see anything here that we might not have anticipated. And I see something here that does not come to my mind as a as problematic long term.
Jerry, in 2000, you had Troy in his final season. You had, I believe, Randall Cunningham, Clint Sterner, Anthony Wright on that roster. And at pick number 180, you took Mario Edwards, the cornerback. Was there ever a consideration for taking a Michigan quarterback named Tom Brady at that time?
No. And I think we all can look back and look at that. That's why I decided to learn from that mistake and take Dak Prescott with my second pick in the fourth round.
Because that could be our Tom Brady.
That's the whole point.
I know. I was
obviously, if we'd known Tom Brady was Tom Brady, he wouldn't have slid past that pick. And certainly, had we known Dak Prescott was Dak Prescott, we wouldn't have waited to the second pick in the fourth round. Our second pick in the fourth round.
His quarterback.
No, I didn't see one of those guys coming at the level they're playing.
Is quarterback a really difficult position to scout and figure out what their projection should be?
Well, you know, they all are difficult because of for many reasons, but they're sure difficult for trying to look what's inside an individual, not only where he is with his with his work ethic, not only where he is with his conscientiousness, but where he is with his competes, how he pictures himself, what place does he have for him in the order of things. I'm talking about him or himself. And some guys have a much bigger picture than you might think they have, and those guys, and that's a good trait to have. I think I will say this: Dak Prescott, for instance, he had real noteworthiness relative to what was inside him. I know when we were down at the Senior Bowl, the opposing coaches were visiting with our coaches, and they thought the best quarterback on the field was Dak Prescott.
Wow.
He did get the most valuable player down there, too. And, of course, Wentz was on our side of the field. But the point is that what's inside is the factor that's hard to get. You tell me, for instance, this is getting away from football, but you tell me how to walk in a business graduate school class at some school and walk in there and pick out your millionaires by some kind of test. Or pick out who's going to do that, and so it's hard to measure what's inside. That's a big part of that position.
I'm going to try to figure out a way to do that test and attach myself to all of those people immediately.
Well, I don't know that tests get the job done. Some of the most successful people I've ever known couldn't pass the test, but yet for whatever the reason. There was a part of them that made them excel and made them go beyond the norm. Matter of fact, they might have rewritten some books about what ought to be on the test.
Now, both Corey and myself, when we started after graduating from college, we covered a lot of high school football. And I'm curious, what does it mean to you to consistently have the Texas High School playoffs in AT&T Stadium about this time every year?
Well, it is a privilege. And it's especially because it is Texas High School football. I don't know that I'm prouder of anything than our lineage relative to Texas football. And, of course, to me, that's the mental picture I get when I think of Texas and football in Texas is the high school football part of it. I had the privilege last night of being out there and watching a game that one of my grandsons was playing in. And he played for Island Park, and it was an outstanding game. And I got to sit right there and just, again, pinch myself and say, I just can't believe that I'm getting to sit here. It's too much. Texas high school football, sitting here in this stadium and watching Paxton Alexander's Charlotte son out there playing for Island Park. It's quite a thrill. When we made our Super Bowl pitch, to have our Super Bowl there in North Texas, the thing that we built the whole presentation around was just how important and how the idea of football is more than a first down in Texas. And I have kids come up to me, and they're not kids. They're 60-year-old kids that used to sit with their dads out at stadiums or sitting at practice fields during tour days, and they'd be females. Texas football is just a part of the ethos of a lot of Texas.
I couldn't agree with that last part anymore. Thank you so much, Jerry, and we look forward with talking to you again next week.
You bet, guys. Enjoy being on with you.
Yes, sir. Bye, Jerry.
Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Coming up next, we continue our football power hour with Brian Broaddus. And
so
perhaps
you got Brian Broaddus on there with you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hey, Broaddus, you doing all right over there?
Perhaps we mix in Mickey Spagnuolo as well. We'll do all of that next right here in your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we're pregaming for the G-Bag Nation as they will be up at 2 o'clock today. Shippy and I will be out at the Shark Club on Sunday.
Yes.
Starting at 3 o'clock, partying our pants off. Or maybe we just keep those on. But yeah, it's going to be Shark Club in Plano on Sunday. Come on out and party with us on Sunday. For the big game, Kevin, between the two teams.
The Cowboys and the Patriots. This is not an ad. You can say that.
We also got Brian Broaddus in studio with us. And on the line with us right now is Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going today, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Very well indeed. So I was curious. I heard this question earlier in the week at the press conferences. Oh, what do you think, Jason Garrett, about the concept of statement games? And I knew immediately that that was going to get shot down. But I am curious for you, do you believe that maybe certain games mean a little bit more in terms of like momentum or perception than a normal victory? And would this fit the bill?
I think it would fit the bill for confidence. And confidence, if you play well, win or lose. I don't think, you know, I understand the tangible difference winning this game means in the standings, in your record. But it's not the end of the world if you lose it. But if you play well, play a clean game, and show that you're competitive with a team like this on the road, I think that would give you confidence. Now, if you go out there and flop around, turn the ball over three times, not be competitive, then I think the statement would be, you know what, we're just not good enough. So to me, momentum, fine. Momentum's a short-lived thing in this league. But confidence, I think, is the thing that I think you can get out of this game, win or lose. And, of course, if you win it, yeah, it boosts your confidence. But you got to play well, and I think that's what's on the line here.
Mickey, you know, I know you do a lot of walking around the halls and visiting with people and do a great job of gathering information. Has anybody talked to you about what the problem's been on their kickoff coverage? Because, you know, if you look at what's happened with this team, like 78% of the time, teams are getting 20-plus yards a return, and the calendar's starting to turn. The weather's going to be bad, shorter kickoffs. So has anybody given you any indication of what the problems are of running down there and defending those kicks?
Well, we can start with the shorter kickoffs.
Right.
You know, for some reason, a guy that's been pretty good at hitting touchbacks suddenly is coming up short. And some of them, it's not just coming up short from a yardage standpoint.
Right.
It's loss of hang time, too. And I think that's why we saw some of those that ended up, you know, 2 yards deep or 4 yards deep coming out against the Lions, because there wasn't much hang time there either. So we can start there. And I think the other problem that's been detected is got a lot of young guys playing on that kickoff coverage team.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, the combination of those two things, you know, we talk about the depth on this team.
Sure.
But you know who's playing on those kickoff coverage teams. It's a lot of young guys, and you need those guys to be spot on, and there's been cases that they haven't been. And you combine that with the shorter, less hang time kickoffs, and I think we've seen the results of that.
Connor Williams is somebody that immediately jumps to mind for this question, but it could be a broader base question. Does the team frequently judge injuries any differently for this game, seeing as how you have to play again in 4 days? So that pre-Thanksgiving game, are the injury situations ever treated any differently?
Usually not. It's like if you're healthy enough to play, then you play, and you don't sit there and go, well, we don't need you for this one. We'll save you for the next one. That has not been a philosophy of this training staff nor the coaching staff. So if Connor Williams got another good day today in with no residual effect after the arthroscopic surgery a couple weeks ago, I'm told he's your starting left guard.
Mickey Spagnuolo joined us by Ford. Hey, Mickey, I was going to ask you, Jason Garrett always talks about explosive plays and the number of explosive plays. Cowboys have done an outstanding job all year long. Those 10-plus plays, the 20-plus plays. New England really good at defending those types of plays. With the conditions, how they're going to be in Foxborough, do you still feel like that the Cowboys can play at that level with those explosive plays, or are we going to see more of a grinded-out attack and try and control the game that way?
You know, I don't know where they're going, but to me, an explosive play in this game would be a 10-15 yard run.
Right.
And I got no problems with them loading up on Zeke. If they want to play the way they've been playing, and who knows what Belichick's going to do.
Right.
But if they want to play with just two down linemen or one down lineman and a bunch of 250-pound linebackers, well, I'm taking my 320-pound offensive lineman and I'm saying, okay, I know you're very versatile, but I'm coming at you with my weight. And I want to get Zeke past the line of scrimmage, which has been a trouble of late when people stack the line, but they're stacking it with defensive linemen and linebackers. If they want to stand up there, I'm coming right at you, and I'm handing the ball to them. And if I can get Zeke in the open field, I can make some explosive plays. So to me, I know we got this idea that you're going to fling the ball around here and there, and you're going to throw it 46 times. But, boy, if I can get that running game going against this team, I can expose what they've been trying to do with all those linebackers.
Yeah, what Mickey's talking about, guys, is that he's been watching tape in New England. He understands Belichick has played with a lot of stand-up guys around the line of scrimmage. You know, Danny Shelton is the nose. Yeah. He'll play heavy nose. But what Mickey's talking about is a lot of linebackers, a lot of standing around. If they could get him into some of those fronts, if the front seven looks that way, Mickey's absolutely right, though. Hammer the ball at him and make them have to get out of that front, and then maybe that sets some things up for you on the outside.
Okay, I keep hearing about this concept, Mickey, of like, oh, Foxborough is such a tough place to play? And like, is there anything discernibly different about being there? Or is it the fact that the Patriots are just really good and they win most places?
Yeah. Foxborough wasn't hard to play at when they weren't very good, right? Cowboys, the first seven times they played them, they beat them. It wasn't until they started getting good that ends up being a tough place to play. You know, I give you the example, and Brian knows this growing up here. Everybody was like, well, the Cowboys had such an unfair advantage playing every year on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, the other team's got to travel. They're sitting at home. And you know what? When they were winning 20 and had winning records in 20 consecutive seasons, boy, they were pretty good at Thanksgiving. But when they got bad, they weren't winning on Thanksgiving, right? It didn't make a difference. Go back and look at 1988 and 89 in those years when they got lean after 85. They weren't very good on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I think when you got a good team, chances are if you've won 20 consecutive home games, there's a reason for that. It's because you are very good because you've had, what is this going to be, their 19th consecutive winning season? That has a lot to do with it, I think.
Not at this moment, but at some point in the future, Mickey, I really want to do a deeper dive into that 1985 season because some of the stuff you told us the other day was really fascinating.
Well, anytime, and when if we ever get a slow day, right? No slow days around here.
Yeah, not with this
that's
team.
True. You know, you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden your outside linebacker is out. Probably, you know, for sure this game, probably a couple weeks, and got to see where it goes from there. Because anytime you have problems in the neck area, it's pretty serious. But I think from what I've learned, what Jerry told you is right. Not anything that they're worried about career ending. And there's been guys on this team that have had neck issues previously, and they've had surgery and come back and play. Darryl Johnson had surgery and played one more year. Chad Headings had neck fusion surgery and came back and played a couple years. So this is something they're just going to have to see if it calms down. My guess is, since this is going to be a game on Sunday and then one on Thursday and one the next Thursday, you know, I know they're saying day to day, week to week, but with those games coming quick, what, 3 and 12 days, I would imagine the soonest he can get back would be at best the Rams game following the break after the Thursday night game against the Bears.
Well, thank you so much, Mickey. I always appreciate your flexibility as well, and we'll dive into that 1985 season at some point.
Okay, and I just want Brian to know that his chair is being used. They've got a Canes Holiday Golden Retriever overstuffed doll. Dog sitting in that chair, and they scratched out the thing's name, and it says Brian on there.
Well, I appreciate that, Mick. Thanks for all your thoughts. Yeah, if you're going to lose your chair, lose it to a doll.
A golden retriever.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, see ya.
Bye, Mickey.
Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. You hear the dulcet tones of Brian Broaddus. He's with us for one more segment. So now's your time. Ask Broaddus, 877-881-1053. And he might still have even more questions for us. We'll do all of that next on the Football Power Hour right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Here on a Football Friday, we have Brian Broaddus joining us right now. He said he's going to stick around one more segment. So if you want to start the 1 o'clock hour with us as well, we'll do Ask Brian right then. Broaddus, we were doing what gives when Jerry Jones invaded our show.
We should ask Jerry some what gives.
That's a good thought.
Maybe we'll
there.
Catch him up another time.
I think we should.
He was about to ask us what gives.
Yeah.
Exactly. You had one more what gives question.
Yeah, I have a couple, but this one I want to get to you guys because we've kind of focused on the Cowboys offensively. I want to look at the defensive side of the things. And New England struggles to run the ball, okay? But the Cowboys give up an average of 4-plus yards a carry on first down. 50% of the time, they're going to give up 4-plus yards a carry. That's 27th in the league, by the way, defensively. What gives?
Can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
Why does New England struggle to run the ball? Is it because of talent and the offensive line?
I think their offensive line, they've had some problems with their line. They've had some injuries with their offensive line, too. They've had some injuries at tight end that's actually hurt them in the running game as well. You know, with some of the blockers up front. You know, with Marshall Newhouse has been the starter here the last couple of weeks. Hasn't been nearly as good enough. You know, Isaiah Wynn going to come back in the mix, but that's just not a very powerful offensive line. They're good on the move when they can block, but they do not get much push. Now, we've seen this against Green Bay. Remember, Green Bay came in, was terrible running the football.
Yeah.
And then they ran the ball down your throat. But again, on what gives, I want to know, first down runs, Patriots, Cowboys giving up an average of 4+ a carry on first down, 50% of the time. You Patriots, you run the football, or if you're the Cowboys, do you stop the run? What gives there?
I think this is the week the Cowboys defense locks that up. Their talent beats that talent.
I disagree. I would love that to be the case, and I would love our defenders to stop leaving their feet so early for tackles. But yeah. I think this is just another – this is the week where New England's running game is effective.
Where it shows up.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden the rain and the cold and all that. Okay, if you had to guess, which team do you think – I mean, Dallas hasn't run the ball very well the last couple weeks, but if you had to pick the team that could run the ball better, you would have to say the Cowboys, right?
Yes,
I would. Just
if one team was
going to
load up. But see, then again, how do you take the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands?
Can't right now.
I mean, that's the problem. And I'm the guy that always says, let's run. I'm the old school crusty scout guy that's always like telling Kavanaugh and the general, oh, no, you can't trust Dak. You know, how wrong is that? But if you're the Cowboys, does the elements make you want to try and run the football more than throw the football?
Only maybe in the second quarter. I'm going to fling it around in the first quarter and take
my chances. You're going to get a lead and try, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to take my chances on that.
Yeah. I'm going to do everything I can to mix up to get big plays.
Yeah.
So I want to do the things in the run game that set up for big things to strike downfield with play action. But I also think that you can do play action anytime.
I'm with you, Hagee. I think the Cowboys are going to have trouble stopping the run, especially on first down. I'm with you on that.
We see your questions. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. Coming up next, we will answer them. Ask Broadus. He said, there's so many awesome questions from the Tolos. I will stick around for another segment. So keep them coming in. We'll get to all the best ones next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.